This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
For I know the plans I have for you. He said, I know just what you're going through, yes. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plans I have for you. That's what the Lord said. He said, see, I know the plans I have for you. And you, and you, and you. And see, I know just what you're going through. Oh, yes, I do. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plans I have for you. And here's the plan. This is what he said. Give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. He said, I'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. He said, I'm gonna give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. Remember, I know the plans I have. He said, I know the plans I have. I know, I know the plans. Be strong, be strong. I know the plans I have. Hold on, somebody hold on. He said, I know the plans. You don't have to worry. I know the plans I have for you.
I want to talk with you today about God's plans, the plan of God, the will of God for your life, my life. What the question is, what is the will of God and how do we know that it's God's will? Many a years, I used to always wonder, and I'm sure many of you wondered, what is God's will for me? How do I know God's will? So today, I hope that I'm able to be able to answer some of these questions or put that to rest in your mind, knowing God's will for you and for myself. For those of you that have your Bible, if you would turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul makes this amazing statement. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he says, do not be conformed or do not behave according to social acceptable standards to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, the aim of Romans 12, 1 and 2 is this, is that all of life will become spiritual worship. In verse 1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So the aim of all human life in God's eyes is that Christ would be made to look as valuable as he is. So worship means using our minds and hearts and bodies to express the worth of God and all he is for us in Jesus. Now, there's a way to live. There's a way to love that does that. There's a way to do your job that expresses the true value of God. If you can't find it, that may mean you should change jobs. Or it might mean that verse 2 is not happening to the degree it should. Verse 2 is Paul's answer to how we turn all of life into worship. We must be transformed. Not just our external behavior, but the way we feel and think, our minds. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, become what you are. Now, those who believe in Christ Jesus are already blood-bought new creatures in Christ. And if anyone is in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he is a new creation. But now we must become what we are. Cleanse out the old leaven, according to 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. Now, worship means using our minds and hearts and bodies to express the worth of God and all he is for us in Jesus. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator, according to Colossians 3 and 10. In other words, you have been made new in Christ, and now you are being renewed day by day. Let's focus on the past, or on the last part of verse 2. Namely, the aim of the renewed mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, here comes the aim, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So our focus today is on the meaning of the term will of God and how we discern it. Now, the two wills of God is what I want to share with you. There are two clear and very different meanings for the term will of God in the Bible. We need to know them and decide which one is being used here in Romans 12 and 2. In fact, knowing the difference between these two meanings of the will of God is crucial to understanding one of the biggest and most perplexing things in all the Bible. Namely, that God is sovereign over all things and yet disapproves of many things, which means that God disapproves of some of what he ordains to happen. That is, he forbids some of the things he brings about, and he commands some of the things he hinders. Or, to put it most paradoxically, God wills some events in one sense that he does not will in another sense. For instance, God's will of decree or sovereign will. Now, let's see the passage of scripture that makes us think this way. First, consider passages that describe the will of God as his sovereign control of all that comes to pass. One of the clearest is the way Jesus spoke of the will of God in Gethsemane when he was praying. According to Matthew 26 and 39, he said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Well, what does the will of God refer to in this verse? It refers to the sovereign plan of God that will happen in the coming hours. You recall how Acts 4, 27 and 28 says this, "Truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plans had predestined to take place." So, the will of God was that Jesus die. That was his plan, his decree. There was no changing it. And Jesus bowed and said, "Here's my request, but you do what is best to do." That's the sovereign will of God. And don't miss the very crucial point here, that it includes the sins of man. Herod, Pilate, the soldiers, the Jewish leaders, they all sin in fulfilling God's will that his son be crucified, according to Isaiah 53 and 10. So let's be very clear on this. God wills to come to pass some things that he hates. Here's an example from 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 3:17, Peter writes, "It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." In other words, it may be God's will that Christians suffer for doing good. He has in mind persecution, but persecution of Christians who do not deserve it is sin. So again, God sometimes wills that events comes about that include sin. It is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will. Paul gives a sweeping summary statement of this truth in Ephesians 1:11. He says, "In him," meaning Christ, "we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." The will of God is God's sovereign government of all that comes to pass. And there are many other passages in the Bible that teach that God's providence over the universe extends to the smallest details of nature and human decisions. "Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from our Father in heaven," according to Matthew 10 and 29. According to Proverbs 16 and 33, it says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its very decision is from the Lord." The plans of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16 and 1. And Proverbs 21 and 1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." See, that's the first meaning of the will of God. It is God's sovereign control of all things. We will call this his sovereign will, or his will of decree. It cannot be broken. It always comes to pass. He does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? According to Daniel 4:35. So God's will of command. Now, the other meaning for the will of God in the Bible is what we can call his will of command. His will is what he commands us to do. This is the will of God we can disobey and fail to do. The will of decree we do whether we believe it or not. The will of command we can fail to do. For example, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, according to Matthew 7:21. So not all do the will of his Father. He says so. Not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, why? Because not all do the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul says that this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Here we have a very specific instance of what God commands us, holiness, sanctification, sexual purity. This is his will of command. But oh, so many do not obey. Hallelujah. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and I. There again is a specific aspect of his will of command, give thanks in all circumstances. But many do not do this will of God. So let's decide to immerse ourselves in the written word of God. Saturate our mind with it. One more example I want to share, which is this in 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, not all abide forever. Some do, some don't. The difference, some do the will of God, some don't. The will of God, in this sense, does not always happen. So I conclude from these and many other passages of the Bible that there are two ways of talking about the will of God. Both are true, and both are important to understand and believe in. One, we can call God's will of decree or his sovereign will, and the other, we can call God's will of command. His will of decree always comes to pass whether we believe in it or not. His will of command can be broken and is every day. So before I relate this to Romans 12:2, let me just comment on how precious these two truths are. Both correspond to a deep need that we all have when we are deeply hurt or experience great loss. On the one hand, we need the assurance that God is in control and therefore he is able to work all of our pain and loss together for our good and the good of all who love him. On the other hand, we need to know that God empathizes with us and does not delight in sin or pain in and of itself. These two needs correspond to God's will of decree and this will of command. For example, if you were badly abused as a child and someone asks you, do you think that was the will of God? You now have a way to make some biblical sense out of this and give an answer that doesn't contradict the Bible. And you may say, no, it was not God's will because he commands that humans not be abusive, but love each other. The abuse broke his commandment and therefore moved his heart and anger and grief, according to Mark 3 and 5. But in another sense, yes, it was God's will, his sovereign will, because there are 100 ways he could have stopped it. But for reasons that I don't yet fully understand, he didn't. And corresponding to these two wills are the two things you need in this situation. One is a God who is strong and sovereign enough to turn it for good. And the other is a God who is able to empathize with you. On the one hand, Christ is a sovereign high king and nothing happens apart from his will, according to Matthew 28 and 18. And on the other hand, Christ is a merciful high priest and sympathizes with our weakness and pains, according to Hebrew 4 and 15. The Holy Spirit conquers us and our sins when he wills, John 1, 13 and Romans 9, 15 and 16, and allows himself to be quenched and grieved and angered when he wills, according to Ephesians 4 and 30 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. You see, his sovereign will is invincible, and his will of command can be grievously broken. So we need both these hurts, both these understandings of the will of God, not only to make sense of the Bible, but to hold fast to God in suffering. So the question is, which will? Now, which of these is meant in Romans 12 and 2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The answer truly is that Paul is referring to God's will of command. I say this for at least two reasons. One is that God does not intend for us to know most of his sovereign will ahead of time. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belongs to us, according to Deuteronomy 29 and 20. If you want to know the future details of God's will of decree, you don't want a renewed mind, you want a crystal ball. This is not called transformation and obedience, it's called divination or soothsaying. The other reason I say that the will of God in Romans 12 and 2 is God's will of command and that and not his will of decree is that the phrase, by testing you may discern, implies that we should approve of the will of God and then obediently do it. But in fact, we should not approve of sin or do it, even though it is part of God's sovereign will. Paul's meaning in Romans 12 and 2 is paraphrased almost exactly in Hebrew 5 and 14, which says, solid food is for the matured, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Also, you can see this in Philippians 1 and 9. That is the goal of this verse, not threatening out the secret will of God that he plans to do, but discerning the revealed will of God that we ought to do. There are three stages of knowing and doing the revealed will of God. That he will of command, and all of them require the renewed mind with the Holy Spirit given discernment. First, God's will of command is revealed with final, decisive authority only in the Bible. And we need the renewed mind to understand and embrace what God commands in the scriptures. Without the renewed mind, we will distort the scripture to avoid that their radical commands for self-denial, love, and purity, and supreme satisfaction in Christ alone. God's authoritative will of command is found only in the Bible. Paul says that the scriptures are inspired and make the Christian competent, equipped for every good work, according to 2 Timothy 3, 6, 16, and 17. Not just some good works, but every good work. Oh, what energy and time and devotion Christians should spend meditating on the written word of God. The second stage of God's will of command is our application to the biblical truth to new situations that may or may not be explicitly addressed in the Bible. The Bible does not tell you which person to marry or which car to drive or whether to own a home, where you take your vacation, what cell phone plan to buy, or which brand of orange juice to drink, or a thousand other choices you must make. If you want to know the future details of God's will or decree, you don't want a renewed mind. You want a crystal ball. What is necessary is that we have a renewed mind that is so shaped and so governed by the revealed will of God in the Bible that we see and assess all relevant factors with the mind of Christ and discern what God is calling us to do. This is very different from constantly trying to hear God's voice saying, do this and do that. People who try to lead their lives by hearing voices are not in sync with Romans 12 and 2. There is a world of difference between praying and laboring for a renewed mind that discerns how to apply God's word on the one hand and the habit of asking God to give new revelation of what to do on the other hand. Divinitation does not require transformation. God's aim is a new mind, a new way of thinking and judging, not just new information. His aim is that we be transformed, sanctified, free by the truth of his revealed word, according to John 8:32. The second stage of God's will of command is the discerning application of the scripture to new situations in life by means of a renewed mind. Finally, the third stage of God's will of command is the vast majority of living where there is no consciousness reflection before we act. I venture to say that a good 95% of your behavior, you do not premeditate it. This is most of your thoughts, attitudes, and actions are spontaneous. They are just spillovers from what's inside. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasures brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak, according to Matthew 12:34-36. Why do we call this part of God's will of command? For one reason, because God commands things like, don't be angry, don't be prideful, don't covet, don't be anxious, don't be jealous, don't envy. And none of those actions are premeditated. Anger, pride, covetousness, anxiety, jealousy, envy. They all just rise up out of the heart with no conscious reflection or intention. And we are guilty because of them. They break the commandments of God. It is not plan, therefore, that there is one great test of the Christian life: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need new hearts and new minds. Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Matthew 12:33. That's the great challenge. That is what God calls you to do. You can't do it on your own. You need Christ, who died for your sins, and you need the Holy Spirit to lead you into Christ's exalting truth and to work in your truth, embracing humility. Give yourself to this. Immerse yourself in the written word of God. Saturate your mind with it and pray that the Spirit of Christ would make you so new that the spillover would be good, acceptable, and perfect. The will of God. Amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com. or visit us at BPNRadio www.preachinsunday.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.